You'll find our reading in the book of Numbers tonight, the book of Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16, and it's a long chapter, so we're just going to read from verse number 41. Numbers chapter 16 and verse number 41. And it reads, "But on the morrow all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put farther in, and from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed," or the plague was stopped. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious and holy word. I want to add one verse to what we have already read tonight, and it's in the book of Jude. And we come back for the third week that I've been here in a row to the book of Jude, way back there between the John's epistle and the book of Revelation. And again, we're at verse 11. Verse 11, and it says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam, for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." So we come again to this verse tonight. There's no more left of the verse for me to preach on, so I'll have to stop after tonight. But we want to look at this verse again that we've been looking at on the past couple of weeks. This little epistle of, as I've pointed out in recent days, is the last of the epistles. And Jude is writing to God's people, and he's warning them about the danger of false teachers creeping in amongst them, warning them about the danger of their false teaching. And you remember how he exhorts the people of God here at the beginning of this chapter in verse 3 to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Those who were teaching error, these apostates, were creeping in amongst the people of God, and so Jude is seeking to warn them about the dangers that that brings with it. And he warns them by using facts from the past. You remember in verse 5, he reminds them how that the people, the Israelites who were brought out of the land of Egypt, how God delivered them, and yet they were destroyed when they believed not. And he's looking away back to that time when Israel believed not and their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And then you remember he reminds them in verse 6 about the angels that sinned. They kept not their first estate, but left their habitation, and hath been reserved unto everlasting chains, under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. And he's talking, of course, about the angels that sinned and rebelled against God. And then he refers not only there, but in verse 7, he reminds them again about another time when God moved in judgment, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them, gave themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And he's pointing out the danger of judgment for those that lie, that lies ahead for those who follow in the ways of false teachers. Jude was adamant and clear that God judges sin, that God judges error and apostasy, and those that follow these things. And as we come down here to verse 11, he brings us face to face in this chapter with those who perished and why they perished. He says, "Woe unto them who have gone in the way of Cain." And of course, Cain, my experienced God's judgment. "And ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Remember, we looked at those who have gone in the way of Cain, and we found out that the way of Cain was the way of religion. My Cain was depending on his man-made religion. He turned away from the truth of the gospel that his father had taught him along with his brother Abel, and he went after pleasing God through the works of his own hands, and Cain perished. And he reminds them about Balaam. My, how that Balaam ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished. And remember, we looked one night at Balaam, this man who knew God's will but deliberately turned against it. And we looked at the road that Balaam traveled, and we looked at the response that Balaam made and the revelation he received, and we looked at the way of Cain and the error of Balaam. Tonight we want to look at the gainsaying of Korah. To gainsay is to deny or contradict. And the gainsaying of Korah was rebellion against God's authority. Moses and Aaron were God's servants. They were God's representatives. And Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, these men that we read about back here in Numbers chapter 16, they turned against Moses, and they turned against Aaron. My dear friends, that's why Korah was judged. Korah was not a priest, neither were any of his rebellious company priests. They were Levites whose business was to attend the outward service in the tabernacle. And they were lured on by pride, and they rose up against Moses and against Aaron, and setting them aside as God's anointed, they sought to force their own way into the presence of the priesthood and to worship God as the priests in Israel. And they ignored God's revealed will and authority and sought to approach God in their own way. You remember how that the earth opened and swallowed many of the people that followed them. And so we come here tonight to the book of Numbers, and we find in the book of Numbers here something more about Korah. We want to look tonight at this person, Korah. God in his wrath, we find, sent a plague among the people to judge them, as a consequence for their sin. And we see in the story Moses and Aaron taking urgent measures to stay the hand of God in judgment and to seek his mercy. As we look at it, I want you to see first of all the plague. Verse 46, and Moses said to Aaron, take a censer, put farther in from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord and the plague is begun. And the plague, this plague, was the consequences of God's wrath against the sinful and rebellious people. We need to be reminded today, of course, that God's character is a God of love. God is love. That's what the Bible says. And we rejoice that God is a God of love. But remember, friends, that God is also a God of justice. And the plague was the consequences of sin and the evidence of judgment. In the scriptures, we see God sending plagues on people because of their sinfulness and their rebellion. Well, there were the plagues in Egypt, and we looked at them very briefly this morning. You remember that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And when God's servants came with a message from God to let his people go, my Pharaoh hardened his heart and refused to let God's people go. And God sent plagues upon the land of Egypt. There was the plague of blood when the water of the Nile turned to blood. And there was the plague of frogs and the plague of lice and the plague of flies and the plague of murine of beasts and the plague of boils and the plague of blains and of hail and of locusts and the plague of darkness and the plague upon the firstborn. And my, these were God's judgments upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. We find when we come on through to Numbers chapter 21, you remember how that as Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, that they spake against God and against Moses, and God sent fiery serpents amongst the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died. And that was a plague that God sent upon the people because of their rebelliousness and because of their sin. We're told that one of the signs of the last days is pestilence. In Matthew 24, verse 7. Pestilence is disease of academic proportions. And there have been many diseases of epidemic proportions down through the years. I'm sure you can remember back in the 50s, TB and other different plagues that there's been. There's been AIDS, bird flu. Today, the latest of them is E. coli. And now we've been learning about the seriousness of this disease that originates away over in the African countries there, and how that people can very easily pick it up, and it's fatal. It's almost sure that they'll die, and people who have gone out to help have had to put on special coats and special clothing lest they would be contaminated and catch this terrible disease. And there's so many different pestilence that we've seen down through the years. But friends, you know, you can put them all on a list tonight, all the great plagues that there's been. We're reading the history books about the plague of London and other things. But the greatest plague of all is the plague of sin. That's the greatest plague of all. It's more dangerous and more deadly than any of these other plagues or pestilences. And it started in a garden called the Garden of Eden. And it spread from that garden into the world. May we read that through one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. My dear friends, sin entered not just into the garden, but into the world, and it brought this plague of sin that means death. My, it's a deadly plague, and all have sinned. All have been contaminated by this plague, all have sinned. And the consequences of sin is eternal death. Yes, every person is affected by it. There's no one who hasn't been touched by this plague. Rich and poor, religious and non-religious, famous and unheard of, Protestant and Catholic. Take all the contrasts among people that you like, and we see here the plague. My, we're reading in this story about a plague that came, but the greatest plague of all is the plague of sin. And you have been touched with it, and I have been touched with it, and everybody you meet in the street has been touched with it. We see in this story of Korah the plague. And then we see the plight in verse 49. It says, they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. Cause of the people's sinfulness. Wrath went out from the Lord. It says here that wrath is gone out from the Lord. Judgment came upon them because of their sinfulness against Moses and Aaron. And dear friends, God's judgment will come upon the sinner. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. After death, my, there is the hereafter, and the consequences of sin is judgment. My dear friends, this is the plight of the unrepentant sinner, the man or woman that goes through life as they were born in their sins. The man and woman who dies in their sins. My, the wages of sin is death, eternal death. And eternal death is not just ceasing to exist. Eternal death is not obliteration, as some would have us to believe. My, eternal death is the soul being separated from the presence of God and being tormented by a sense of its eternal lostness in eternity. I believe that that's part of what the torments of hell is all about, a sense of their eternal lostness in eternity. We see here through this story tonight the plague and the plight. But then we see in this story the provision. Verse 46, Moses said to Aaron, take a censer, put farther in from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. And we're seeing the provision. Aaron was Israel's high priest. And Moses told Aaron to take a censer to put far in it from the altar and to put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. You see, because of God's anger against the people's sin, he was about to judge the people so that an atonement was necessary. There was an extreme urgency about this atonement being made. Moses said, go quickly unto the congregation. Every passing moment, my dear friends, was precious. My dear people were collapsing with the plague, the It spread among them, and it says in verse 47, Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed, the plague was stopped. You know, Israel's high priest stood between the living and the dead until the plague ceased. The incense that was offered by the high priest as an atonement, it originated from the sacrifice that would have been offered on the brazen altar. And that offering on the brazen altar spoke in type of sin being judged. And this was the remedy. To use a medical term, it was the antidote for the plague. When Aaron stood between the living and the dead, the plague ceased, the plague was stayed. We see here the plague and the plight and the provision. But in Aaron we see the priest, Aaron the high priest. He was the man who stood between the living and the dead. He was the one who took the censer and brought the incense from the brazen altar. And you know, Aaron the high priest is a picture of an infinitely greater mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ. My, the one who stands between the living and the dead tonight to save sinners from the penalty and power of sin. We read in this book about Christ being a mediator. Paul says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. A mediator is one who comes between two parties and seeks to bring a reconciliation, tries to bring them together. And my, the mediator stands between a sinful created man and a holy God. My, he seeks through his death to reconcile sinful man to holy God. You know, friends, God sent his Son to be the mediator between God and man. God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He entered a rebellious world where people were indifferent to the power and consequences of sin. And it's a fact, infinitely worse than the deadliest plague that there's ever been. And there at Calvary, he made an atonement for sin. The priest in the Old Testament brought an offering for sin. But the wonderful thing is this tonight, that our great high priest brought the offering of himself. The priest in the old economy brought a bullock or a lamb or a turtle dove. But when Jesus came to the cross, he brought the offering of himself. He was the lamb that was offered on yonder brow at Calvary. He went there and died as a sacrifice for sin. He shed his blood to make an atonement for sin. And the Bible clearly tells us tonight that it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It is the blood that is a propitiation that satisfies a holy God against sin. And he stands tonight between the living and the dead as the only hope of the sinner, as the only means of salvation, as the only way through which we can get to heaven, and as the only remedy for the plague of sin. My, Jesus Christ stands tonight between the living and the dead. The hymn writer said, nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Dear friends, he lives, he stands, he's the one who alone is the remedy for sin. The plague of sin will claim you. But there's one who has the answer to the sin question tonight. One who has the answer. My, he can save you because he paid the price of sin and made that atonement that satisfies and appeases a thrice holy God. We see tonight the priest, and we see in the priest who is our great high priest tonight, who offered himself as a sacrifice to make an atonement through which the plague of sin can be dealt with. We see here the performance at the end of the chapter. It says in verse 50, and the plague was stayed. The remedy was found. You know, friends, there's many plagues today. People are always looking for a remedy. And doctors and professors, they look for a vaccine. They had to try to get a vaccine for this E. coli so that it could be used to defeat the disease and to take away the virus. And scientists are working overtime all over the world tonight to find a vaccine, to find a remedy, to save people's lives, to save them from dying early. You know, the worst plague of all is the plague of sin, because it not only brings physical death, it damns people's souls for all eternity. But praise God, a remedy has been found. And that remedy is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood atones. His blood satisfies the throne of heaven tonight. His blood has power to cleanse us from sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath its flood lose all their guilty stains. Maybe you're here tonight, you're suffering from the plague of sin. Your plight is eternal death, but a provision has been made, and one has come. God's Son has come to take your place at Calvary and shed his blood, and he offers to you tonight that remedy and that cure that can save your precious soul and rescue you from perishing. He stands between the living and the dead tonight. There's only one hope. There's only one way. There's only one Savior. And if you turn to him and trust him, he will save you. Hymn writer said, he will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Only trust him. Only trust him. He will save you now. Remember, friends, the warning from Jude. Woe, judgment unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Trust you haven't gone in the way of Cain. And ran greedily after the heir of Balaam. Trust you're not on the road that Balaam was on. And perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Many people perished in the days of Korah. Men and women are perishing tonight at this very moment. People are perishing, young and old. People are lost. There's a remedy and a Savior. There's a Redeemer. And there's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. May you come to know him. May you come to embrace him. May you come and turn to that one mediator, that one who can bring you to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.